From the Media Factory in the south end of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM, WBTV LP Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. Today on Write the Book, you'll hear two live phone interviews with Vermont authors. Melissa Perley's 2019 children's book, The Violin Family, just won an award. And Michael Fried Thal has a new novel titled Horodno Burning. Both of these books are published by Rootstock, which is a Vermont press. So we'll begin in just a minute with my interview with Melissa Perley, a performing and teaching cellist. She lives in Vermont with her luthier husband, Paul, and their family. Together, Paul and Melissa own Paul Perley Cellos, a stringed instrument business, excuse me. Her new book is The Violin Family, an introduction to the string family of instruments that shows young readers the power of music and of caring relationships. The violin family is Basil, the bass, Celia, the violoncello, Busy, the viola, and Val and Violet, the violins. Together they love to play music and then share a pancake breakfast, complete with local Vermont maple syrup. This picture book for children pairs fact and fiction as an introduction to the family of stringed instruments. In meeting the violin family, readers have the opportunity to learn about the anatomy as well as the personality of each of the strings. One day while the family is performing their music, Violet falls and has to visit the luthier to be repaired. Will her sound come back so her family can continue to play together as a quintet? Let's talk to the author of this lovely children's book and see what she says. Melissa Perley, welcome to Write the Book.
Thank you so much for having me.
I so enjoyed reading The Violin Family, and I wanted to start by talking a little bit about your background. You are a teacher and a cellist, is that right?
Exactly, yes.
And where do you teach?
I teach at home. We have, both my husband and I are teaching cellists as well as owning Paul Perley Cellos, which is a stringed instrument business. And interestingly enough, we also have a small sheep farm.
Oh, wow.
So, right. So we have a diverse bit of things going on here. And so I teach, my studio is here, and so people come to me. I have 20-something students, and so I teach full-time, and I love it. I love teaching the cello and performing and all the other things that go with it.
Yeah, are they all different ages, your students?
They are. I have some kids, and then I have adults, and I have students that I teach in Alaska and Washington State by virtue of the fact that, you know, now we can do that online.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Now, I've been taking some piano lessons online, and I'm wondering how you find the sound quality when you're teaching.
You know, it's interesting because what happened is I had a student who was going to Spain for a year. Her husband had a job, and she had to be there with him, and she said to me, would you please consider teaching me online? And I thought, oy, music online, especially strings online. And so, but she just begged and begged, and so I got the setup, and I was amazed. And this was many years ago now, so this was way before COVID.
Oh, okay.
And I got it. And what I think is that the timbre of the cello works especially well. I'm not sure how the piano works. You could tell me, but the cello works very, very well online. I'm amazed at what I can hear and correct and online.
Yeah, I'm always amazed at what my teacher can pick up, too, although I'm sure it's not perfect, but yeah.
Well, and the other thing, I'm able to tell them things like this time of year, I can say, you know, your strings are high and you need to have the cello adjusted. And they'll be like, what? And because I can hear the tension in the instrument. And yeah, so I'm so grateful that we can use that because I teach people from all over the country.
That's amazing.
The world, really.
Yeah. Okay, so Melissa, you have said that your goal in writing The Violin Family was to inform and educate young and not so young readers about the string family of instruments. And it's you say it's fictional, but not. So let's talk about that. What's fictional? What's not?
Okay. Well, I mean, everything, my goal was to kind of demystify strings, because what's happening, I'm sure you know, that in schools and things, you know, the funding isn't there. So there's often band programs, but not very often string programs. A lot of times I'm kind of called into schools and I will teach strings to some kids on an individual basis, but they don't have orchestras and things. So I thought, wouldn't it be great if I wrote something that would allow... It could be older people, too, because not everyone knows about strings, but that give them some actual information about strings. And, interestingly, this story, I play in a quintet, and which is the five strings, and this was actually true, and this was in Barnard. So those are true things that happened. Violet, my friend's violin, did not fall in reality. I took a little liberty there. But it was a true story, so it was an interesting thing for me to write about. And what I thought was, there's so many things in this that offer up an opportunity to put in actual language. And my editor and I did a little wrestling on language, because it was very important to me that we use actual musical language. So that's why I included the glossary of terms at the end of the book, so that you could go back and look up some of the words that might be new to kids.
Yeah, that was great. I thought that was really helpful.
Yeah.
Now, I love that the characters in the book, and I will just go over their names again. Basil, bass, violin, Celia, violin.
It's Basil. And it's Basil, and I will tell you this, and my dad died in March, and obviously it was before, but my dad was 6'3", and I named the bass after him.
Oh. So and of course it would be Basil,
dad.
Because it's a bass. Oh, okay, I see.
Exactly, Basil bass.
Mm-hmm. And then Celia Violoncello,
right.
Correct me if I'm saying that wrong.
No, that's correct.
Elizabeth Viola, who goes by Busy, Violet
yes.
Violin, and Val Violin. Okay, so those are the instruments
right.
themselves, and I love that their personalities
yes.
reflect and educate readers about the actual instrument's qualities.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So how did you approach that? What did you decide to do?
Well, you know, what I wanted to do was, I'm sure you understand what I'm saying, there's a very fine line there between writing something that is either autobiographical or that it is just straight fact. I wanted it to be something that would be, I loved reading to my sons. We have mm-hmm. four sons, and I loved reading to them. I wanted something that would be interesting, but also educational. So you're kind of walking the line. I wanted them to have personalities, but as I told my illustrator, they can't have hands. Like, they can't. So, like, there's that kids accept fantasy. And so what I hoped was that they would learn something about the instruments and accept that they could have personalities, but still learn something about what, you know, the instruments actually were. So that was my process, and giving them an idea and kind of taking away the idea that especially classical instruments are kind of untouchable. I think people think of classical music as something that, you know, if you have a violin, you're playing it as a violin. What I always tell people is, remember, it's a fiddle. It's a fiddle,
right.
And it's a violin. You know, it's how you play it that
right.
matters.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was hoping to make it so that it was a fun story. And then what I do is, when I come to read or something, I bring my cello and I play, and I can't tell you how many kids have never heard or seen a cello. So they're blown away by that, and then we bring small instruments, and I bring Luthier Paul with me, and of course he's in the book,
yeah.
So he's in his apron, and so the kids go nuts. He's like a rock star, and we let them play the instruments. So they get their hands on the smaller fractional size instruments. So it's like magical. It's wonderful.
Yeah, that reminds me actually. I mean, the idea that you let them play the instruments. I think that's wonderful. I think some people are so sort of over the top protective of their instruments. They wouldn't want anyone touching
right.
them. But I think it's, you know, I mean, it's, and you just wrote about this on your blog. It's about the joy mm-hmm. of playing mm-hmm. music, as well as mm-hmm. The, you know, level of playing that you can get to through
right.
all of your work, hard work. But so
right.
that's wonderful that you let them touch. Now, you also introduce readers to the physical anatomy of the instruments. So I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what are some of these qualities you had to differentiate in writing the characters and in explaining to your artist how to present them on the page.
Well, you know, working with an illustrator is it's a unique thing, because it's in your head.
Yeah.
And you have to say, this is how I want to see this on the page. Now, the illustrator says, this is in my head. So, you know, so we have to come to a meeting of the minds on this. And what I did was I explained to her the reason why they had to look like instruments. And what I loved was the F-holes on the instrument where the sound comes out of all the instruments. And, you know, the play on words on this is that the violin family actually is all of those instruments that I described. Those right. are the violin family of instruments. And so then it was easy for me to go into the fact that I could use that play on words and make them the violin family. So
perfect.
What I liked about it was the F-holes that are carved into them. She was able to kind of make those a little bit like eyes. So it was without putting, I had this horror of, you know, like a Mickey Mouse with little white hands. I didn't want that. And yet, ironically, they eat pancakes, right? I see the kind of the balance between those things of kids accepting certain things, but I wanted them to see the instruments as they really are for the most part, so that when they saw them in front of them, that's my point. I want them to be able to recognize them and say, oh, that's a bass. The big one is a bass.
Yeah.
Great. Even if they say, that's Basil, that's okay.
Yeah. No, but I think, you know, in any book, I mean, something like a children's book or something like a fantasy for adult readers, whatever, you have to
right.
establish the universe that you're going to present. And then
yeah.
that's where people sort of figure out, okay, this is the universe I'm in. And so in this universe,
right.
they eat pancakes, but they have no hands. Okay.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And, you know, the thing is, too, that I have a the incorporation of this is that I have a very real love for Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
I have a love for music, and I have a love for kids and family. And so I was so happy to be able to do that. And I had complete faith, and I was right. Kids are just like, yep, they eat pancakes. You know, it's nothing for them. You know, when we say that and I read it, they never raise their hand and say, well, how would they eat if they don't have hands? They never ask me things like that. They are very willing to step into their world and be accepting. But simultaneously, I talk about Antonin Dvorak as a composer, and, you know, that's very real.
Yeah.
So they're able to come in and out of those things, but I had faith that kids could do that. And I think adults can. Star Wars, we all do that.
Right, right. Now, you already mentioned this, but the book has a luthier as a character, and it's luthier
mm-hmm.
Paul. And your husband is luthier Paul. So
yes.
that's kind of cool, because that teaches them something else, too. I mean, how many people, I mean, we've all heard of violins, but how many people really,
yes.
or how many children really know what a luthier is?
Exactly.
Yeah. How, I'm just curious, how did you and Paul meet? Did you meet playing, or
through music. We did. We
yeah.
did, actually. We met in an orchestra, and that's how we met each other. And so we've built our whole world, you know, around music. You know, we run ensembles and we perform, and, you know, we do all these things together, as well as having our small sheep farm and
yeah.
making wool blankets and doing things like that. But, you know, our shop is here.
Yeah.
And having four kids.
You're busy.
Our shop is here. So the nice thing is that I've also, if kids are around, they're welcome to come and see the shop, because, like I said in the book, it's very much like a doctor's office for instruments.
Right.
And so it's a beautiful world, and I feel very fortunate that we are able to put all those pieces together living here.
Yeah, great. Now, the Violin Family was a winner in the children's mm-hmm. category of the 2021 Indie Reader Discovery Awards. So how did this
yes.
come about, and was it a surprise?
Well, it was a surprise. I mean, I entered the book. I sent the book, but, you know, you send the book in hopes, but you kind of do the, there it goes. I hope that something happens. And when I got notification that I won, I was just thrilled. I was so honored to have it picked up, and it offers an opportunity to get that to more readers and more kids and more schools. So this is a labor of love for me, as well as a writing project, and so the award has helped, you know, me to get the book exposed, because I have written a next. My goal is to make a series of these books with different instruments. If you'll notice in the book, even on the cover, there's a sign that said "To the Woodwinds."
Yes,
and so that's just a little hint
yeah.
of things to come. I don't know if you Leonard Bernstein did the recordings of meet the instruments in a symphony orchestra.
Oh.
And I thought about that, and that was my hope, is to be able to come through some of the instrument families and get the education to the kids, much like putting broccoli on pizza. You know, they're reading and having fun reading, but they're also picking up information while they're reading.
Okay, that's great. Now, the violin family was published by a local publisher, Rootstock, in Montpelier. Do you
right.
want to talk a little bit about your publishing journey?
Well, when I started this is my first children's book. I've written an award-winning blog for a long time, but when I did the children's book, I really didn't know how to go forward. I didn't know, I didn't have an agent, and I didn't really know about, you know, the process. And so I was very lucky to get in touch with Stephen MacArthur from Rootstock, and we sat down and talked about my vision and what my hopes were for it, and they were wonderful about creating that vision. I had very specific things I wanted at hardcover, and you know, had a real specific idea of what I wanted it to look like, and he was wonderful about working with me, about bringing that to life.
That's great. Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've mentioned your illustrator, but we haven't named her or him. Who's your illustrator?
Her name is Fiona McLean.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, she lives on a family farm as well, and so we had a great collaborative relationship together, and as I said to you, I felt really lucky to have found her and been able to make this come to life the way I wanted it to. She was great about it. She lived in California, so a lot of the things at the beginning were kind of southwestern.
Oh.
And we had to say, no, they're in Vermont, you know what I mean? So we had to change colors, and
yeah.
It was an exciting process, and I hadn't worked with an illustrator before.
It is kind of lucky, because I think generally in children's fiction, you don't necessarily meet your illustrator, either remotely or otherwise. Yeah.
Exactly. I think that your publisher, a lot of times, you send them the manuscript, and then they pair you with the publisher.
Right.
And so this was different than that, so I felt lucky. We'd sit down and have coffee and talk about what we wanted, and it was a wonderful relationship.
Well, that's great. Now, Melissa, I always like to ask my guests if they have one to two titles of books that they've enjoyed recently. Do you have anything that you might recommend to listeners?
I do. What I find is, because of the diversity of the things that I like, a lot of times I'm reading biographical, you know, musical things, or I'm reading about how to improve the soil on my land or things like that. So to that end, I love Green Mountain Farm by Elliot Merrick, and it's the story of a Vermont farm. And I have chose these authors because I think they're fabulous writers. And so
wonderful.
They are what I hope always is to bring forward the truth of the way they feel, and I can see it in my mind. So I love that, and I also love Wintering, The Power of Rest and Retreat in Difficult Times by Catherine May. And again, I love her, the way she writes and explains things. I thought it was just a beautiful book. And Pastoral Song is what's on my table right now, and that's James Rebanks, and that's a follow-up work, and I loved his shepherd's life, and so it speaks to me as a shepherd. I have border collies and use them on my farm, so and he's a wonderful writer. So those are some titles that I highly recommend to people for the writing.
Okay, fantastic. And now let's talk a little bit about your own writing. So you've just won this award. What are you working on these days in your own work?
Well, I do. I have the second book that is in process of being edited, and
oh, so it's all written.
It's written.
Okay.
And so I'm working on, you know, bringing that to life. I also write for our website two blogs. I write a blog, Musician Farming Sheep, and then I also write a blog about teaching the cello and music. And so it's an ongoing project for me to write those, and I love that work.
And where can people find those blogs if they want to?
They can find the blogs on our website, which is Paul Pearly Cellos.
Okay, wonderful.
So that is where you can find the blogs, and the book is coming.
Okay, great.
In process.
Now, from your blog, do you mind if I read a sentence from your blog?
Not at all.
Okay, so this is from a recent posting. Actually, it's the one I was talking about where somebody wanted things to be only perfect music, but that's not actually the tenor of my question. But you wrote, as a professional performer and teacher of classical music, I find joy in the long hours of practice and repetition in order to make my music say something meaningful to the listener. So I actually pulled that. It's a little out of context to what you were writing about, but I would love to have us finish up by your offering a little advice about practicing. And I guess I mean practicing music, but also practicing any art, writing. You know, our practice is writing drafts and editing, and so to find our way to a finished draft, do you have advice about practicing?
Yes. It's an interesting thing how what I find, and I write about this, that the things that we are drawn to, the thread that ties them all together, because there's a similarity in how we speak with music and how we speak with writing, for me, mm-hmm. as a musician. And my goal is, and what I always suggest to people, is to work to be able to speak from and with the voice that you understand, because it's the only way to have people hear your truth. When I read something that I've written and worked hard on, my ultimate test is, does it say what I want it to say? Is it me that's speaking? Am I mimicking a sentence from someone else's, not copying their work, but did I find beautiful writing and I'm trying to be that person? I think the only way that music can be successful without affectation is to have integrity and honesty. You know, your emotions are at the surface, and your job is to create that portal between them, whether it be with your right hand on your bow, or for me, the left hand on the pencil. So it's working on, it's the continuation of working to find that integrity and your own voice, your voice.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And that's what I would tell people, is to keep working until what you see is what you're saying.
That's wonderful.
Or what you hear is what you want to say.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So I want to just mention again, the name of your book is The Violin Family. It's a children's book, but really it's for anybody who wants to learn more about the violin family. Published by Rootstock, my guest today has been Melissa Perley, the author of The Violin Family. And Melissa, thank you so much for speaking to me about your book.
Sheila, thank you very much for having me. I'm honored that you invited me.
It's really been fun to talk to you, and take care.
And good luck with your piano.
Oh, thank you very much. I need it.
Thank you.
Right. Thanks.
From the Media Factory in the South End of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM. WBTV LP Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers, and that was an interview with Vermont author Melissa Perley about her new book, The Violin Family, published by Rootstock. And as she mentioned during the interview, you can learn more about her work at paulperleycellos.com. So my first prompt for this week is to listen to a piece of music and then try to write a description of what you hear. It's hard to write about music. It's hard to capture in words what your brain processes in a different way. So give that a try. It's a wonderful exercise. Good luck with your work in the coming week, and please tune in next week for another prompt or suggestion. You can find the archived episodes of Write the Book wherever you find your podcasts. I think most of the larger venues will have about 20 to 30 episodes, maybe 50 episodes, but there are 700 episodes of Write the Book, and soon to be 702, at the main Write the Book website, which is writethebook.podbean.com. You can also visit Write the Book on Twitter and on Facebook for updates, and you can access the podcast at my own website, which is shelaughswithoutus.com. If you have a guest to suggest, or comments about the show, or news about book-related events, please send an email to writethebook@gmail.com. And if you like the show, please rate it where you find it. Like it on Facebook, tell all your friends. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. You've been listening to Write the Book. This is 99.3 FM, WBTV LP, Burlington, Vermont, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. Stay well and have a great week.